Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this September 2nd, 2022. 10:07 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30 today, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Connie Tomsky-Fayville. She is representing FRM, Friends of Rapids Music. We're going to talk about the Music Fest coming up September 10th with FRM. Looking forward to doing that. And, of course, just having Ben and Katie in heartstrings there in the morning show, really a perfect segue into that. So we're looking forward to it. We are also looking forward to being joined by Representative Scott Krug any moment now. I thought that would be the moment where he'd show up right there as I said his name. I'm like, any moment now, and boom, and he'd show up. Okay, no, not happening. Did I get stood up? Did Scott stand me up? He doesn't. That's not his style. He doesn't do that. We know Representative Krug has joined us over the years from almost everywhere in the state. Scott's called us, pulled over at Pretzels before, or different things. He makes the effort. So if he's not here, he's got a good reason, I'm sure. We're looking forward to catching up with Scott as soon as we can. If not today, then soon in the forecast here and the schedule. For right now, since we're pulling an audible here, everybody, let's just go ahead and embrace it and go right into it. If I had a bunch of questions for Scott. He is on the campaign trail right now, of course, and going door to door, talking to a lot of you out there. And you don't get an opportunity to talk to people that are doing that, literally talking right to the people very often. So I wanted to talk to Scott about what is he hearing out there? What are the kind of the things that, what it's like on the campaign trail? And part of one of the things that I wanted to get into with him was just the political climate, really. And one of the things that Scott and I enjoy talking about, because while we may lock horns from time to time on different issues, I think at its core, we come from a very similar place of person over party. And that phrase and that terminology has gotten a little muddied over the last couple of years. And I'd kind of like to know where he's coming from, where you are coming from, you out there, when it comes to this. Because for me, and growing up in a very political family in a very political city in Chicago, it was never a question of it was a candidate. The R or the D in front of their name was almost secondary. It was more about their issues, more about what they stood on, where they were coming from, what kind of people they were. Sometimes maybe, you know, their background a bit, but it was more about the issues. And it seems from going back to when I'm a kid in the 80s to right now in 2022, we couldn't be farther from that. Where now I feel like looking at in this state in particular, the candidates that are for both parties up there running, unless they have already run for office, I don't know what they really necessarily stand on. So I'm kind of curious about that. We'll see if we have Scott here joining us. Good morning. Is this you, Scott?
It is.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I appreciate you not standing me up, because the audience hears enough from me. They don't need me rambling.
That's all right. It's all right. I get it.
Where are you calling us from?
So this weekend, we are up in Bancroft at the lovely Vista Royale campground.
Nice. Nice.
I'm going to call it a new segment, Camping Across the District.
Here we go. Yes. New segment. I love it.
That's right.
Scott, I was just rambling to the audience about kind of my opening question for you here, because anybody that follows you on social media or has heard from you recently knows that you're on the trail. You were out there talking to constituents, going door to door. How's that been going?
It's good. It's been really fun. I've been able to do it not only in my district, but able to help some friends out across the state just to kind of get a good grasp of what people are saying everywhere. And it's all pretty much been the same message from home here and across the district, from Superior down to Glendale, Milwaukee. People are just, things are tight right now, right? I mean, everybody's feeling the pinch and inflation and gas prices. And, you know, those are things people talk a lot about. And those are the things we try to spend a lot of time on the doors discussing with them. You know, there's some that still talk about the election stuff, you know, try to go through some of the things we've worked on election-wise and some of the things that happened and didn't happen. So some of the conversations on the doors are a little longer this year than others, but it's all a while, and it's been fun. I've been able to see as many people as humanly possible, and as many as my shoes will allow. So I think we're going to trade out to pair number two here from wearing out shoe leather already.
Scott, when it comes to doing that kind of work, it's how a lot, because the traditional way of politics, the way it used to be, many people started where you are as a representative in their community, going door to door. And then if they wanted to continue a career in politics, maybe moving on to being, you know, a higher office and so on and so on. But it all starts there, those early days of going door to door and seeing people face to face and hearing them actually say something to you in person. Do you think that that's missing out of the larger, like when we're talking about running for Senate, running for Congress, even running for president? Do you think that we need that back, more of that, or is that kind of impossible to pull off in the climate today?
You know, and that's a great question because, you know, they call it retail politics, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're door to door, you're seeing people, you're meeting them, you're doing parades, you're knocking on their doors, you're seeing them at the gas station, grocery stores, retail. It all started. And lately, I'd say, you know, this past generation, I don't say lately, it's probably been 15, 20 years where the higher up it goes, the more money is what kind of drives that conversation, where you can buy radio commercials, you can get on the TV. I mean, not that we don't do radio in our races, but when you get to those bigger races, they almost exclusively depend on that non-interpersonal communication. I think COVID really exacerbated that a bit this last campaign where hardly any of us were able to get out and knock on any doors. So some people might have seen the easier way out and rely on social media more. And I don't do it personally, but yeah, I think it is missing from some of the top tier races where they can not cover the entire state, obviously, but still get out and see more to more people and be more visible in the communities.
Hmm. When you're able to do that, Scott, and I know I've kind of asked you this question in a roundabout way before, but you're getting ready to hit the trail, you're tying your laces up, and you've got issues in your head and things that you think are important. By the time you're done talking to people in a day, a month, or what have you, has that grown? Has that changed or been influenced as far as like, wow, I didn't know this was an issue to people, or oh, this is, I thought this was important, it turns out it is.
Yeah, you know, I learned my first campaign when I would go door to door and I would have like a 10-minute spiel to give to every single person. First, I learned I'm never going to get through all my doors because it's just going to take forever. And then second, I learned just to finally walk up to the door, introduce myself, and ask them if they have any questions or concerns. Because in the end, my job as a representative is not to pitch my agendas, quote unquote. I mean, I can let people know what I think is important if they ask me, but I like taking this time from, say, April when we start nomination papers to mid-October. That 6 months every other year is really when everything from the people kind of drives what my agenda is going to be for the next 2 years, whether it's me on county board talking to department heads, county board supervisors, working with the mayors of my municipalities or the leaders in those areas.
Scott, when it comes to this time of year and you're doing that, not every time is it you're running for office. Sometimes you're campaigning not only to find out what's going on in the minds of constituents, but also to somebody in your party that you're helping trying to run for office. When it comes to that, I'm curious to know how you balance something, because human beings are human beings. Just because you may share a party similarity there, you may not share all these same issues or have the same beliefs, of course, because we're all different, of course. But how do you balance that of supporting somebody in your party and being a good, quote-unquote, teammate, but also kind of like making sure that there is a separation there so you're not lumped together?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is, you know, when I'm working with another candidate or with another individual or hearing back about another race, I let them know, you know, I always, you know, back in the Walker days, I used to always say, well, that's Scott Walker, I'm Scott Krug. You know, there are some things that are some differences, you know, mm-hmm. We're not all the same people all the time. And I do the same thing when, say, Senator Johnson's race, if people want to talk about that, I know people they can get a hold of and ask them direct questions about that campaign. I don't answer for every Republican. I'm cut a little bit different from the cloth of some of the others. And I think as individuals, especially in our party, we are very individualistic. And even when we do get together in a group or a caucus, it's kind of hard to herd cats. So it's a little unfortunate sometimes when I hear I'm never going to vote for another Republican again because of so-and-so. that's just not, you know, the true measure of who these individuals are who are running in each different race. So I always try to find a way to differentiate myself and give them contact information to directly talk to another candidate.
So when we're kids, and I was talking to a couple of my people that I really respect when it comes to talking politics, and just they grew up in Chicago like I did and in the 80s, and we're talking about it, and it's such a heated political environment in that city, and it can get so messy and so dirty. And in talking about this, all we could talk about when we were thinking of candidates, it took us a second to remember, was he a Democrat or Republican? You know, we remembered their issues, remember what they were standing on, but we couldn't necessarily remember that right away. And then I flash forward to 2022, where I feel like so many of the people that are running for office, not just here in this state, but all across the country, all I know about them is that they're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't really know what they stand on. How do we get more back? How do we get back to that more about where it's about issues and what you stand on, as opposed to I represent this team, I'm against that team?
Yeah, it's interesting. The last three campaigns, it got really cut and dried, right? So I would go to a lot of doors, and first questions a lot of people would ask would be, are you Republican or Democrat? Well, okay, I'm a Republican, you know, and sometimes I would get a door slammed in my face, or sometimes I would just get a person to say, well, I'll vote for you then. And I'd try to dig down a little bit and say, hey, what is the issue, or why, you know, what makes you want to say that? You know, I don't ever really want to discourage somebody from voting for me, because that's what I have to do, but I do like to know, you know, what's working, what isn't working. I still want that feedback besides somebody saying, you're Republican good or you're Republican bad. And, you know, the last three campaigns, it's gotten pretty polarized where people ask that question a lot. So I don't put that on my campaign literature. We don't put it on our website. I don't put Scott Krug Republican for the 72nd Assembly District. I'm, like I said before, I'm the guy. You know, talk to me about who I am and what I think, and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. And I've always said that to people, too, is I'm going to be brutally, brutally honest with you. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, maybe you can still respect me enough to vote for me and still disagree with me. But I don't have time to sugarcoat. I don't have time to, you know, figure out how to make my answer fit your need. I'm going to give you the answer that you asked me the question of.
It's a difficult balancing act, because being a good politician is a little bit like being a good parent. You want to be your kid's best friend. You want to get along. You want to be the cool parent and stuff, but you can't. You got to put your foot down sometimes. You got to have to do the hard goodbye sometimes, the hard things. When it comes to that part of it, how do you, especially when you're in person with somebody and you're talking to somebody at their doorstep, how do you balance that where it's with tact that you're telling them that, look, I've got to kind of stand by you may be saying this, but the masses are saying this.
Yeah. And it's been really easy to do that the last 6 years, because, you know, as the lines kind of got drawn and people were standoffish or I didn't mesh with what they were saying, it would just be a handshake and a thank you for your time. You know, if you take anything personally in politics, then you're in the wrong business. I mean, you've got to have thick skin. You got to be able to, like a baseball pitcher, you throw a pitch and it gets knocked out for a home run. You got to just forget it and move on to the next pitch. Every door is different. Every 10 to 15 second pitch is different. And you just move on. And some people you can cajole some people and convince them that it's the right thing to do. Or you can just tell them, hey, here's more information, here's a phone number, here's a website. You know, we want to talk more later, I'll give you a call tonight, but I got to get to the next door, because I got to get about 200 of these in every day, otherwise I'm not going to get through this. So it's just a excuse yourself politely, handshake, and move on if it's just not working.
You really have to build that up over time, I imagine, and you've been doing this a while, so I imagine it's been built up over time. But are there still moments where you're walking away from a door and you're like, okay, that was a rough one, okay, that was, you know, like that kind of, or and on the other side of that too, moments where like, this is why I'm doing this, this is why I'm still doing this job?
Yep, it goes both ways. Yeah, I mean, there could be doors that I've knocked on for the last six cycles in a row, and I go to the seventh time, and all of a sudden I did one thing that person didn't like, and now they're done, right? I'm like, okay, so it hits you like, wait, what happened? And you try to get an answer, and sometimes people don't want to give it, which is fine. I don't need everybody to explain everything, but yeah, those are the ones that hurt, and it makes it tough to go to the next one. But then, yeah, you get to the next one, and it's somebody who's got a situation that they were going to try to call somebody to get some help from, and it turns into a constituent case where you can really find some fulfillment and finding a way to help them get through the red tape of government. And it does cut both ways, and it's an emotional day from start to finish when you get up and get going about 10 o'clock in the morning, and you get done about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon during the weekdays so you can get on to other things in life. And then weekends, you pick a Saturday and get out and take the day off on Sundays. So 6 days a week, 6 hours a day for about 6 months.
Speaking with Representative Scott Krug. And Scott, before the last couple of crazy years of craziness with the pandemic and these things, one of the main topics that you and I would talk about was water quality. And that kind of had to get kind of put to the side for a little bit because, again, the pandemic and such. But I know that things are opening up more. We're getting back to a little bit of the new normal. I know that is an issue that is incredibly important to you. Have there been any strides on that? Are there any things going on behind the scenes with that as far as bills or anything else that the audience could use to know about?
Yeah, I think I'm actually heading down to a legislative conference in Memphis this coming week. I was invited to speak about a bill that we got passed unanimously and signed and now implemented, our nitrogen optimization bill, which will help give cost-sharing benefits to farmers to reduce their nitrogen load onto their fields. That'll help alleviate some of the problems we're seeing with blue-green algae and water quality in our lakes. So, I mean, and there are bills that get signed. There are things that are happening. The Joint Finance Committee, you know, just funded the program for $12 million. And I think those are the things that we talk a lot about at DOORS when people ask, okay, give me an example. When you say on your brochure you want good water quality, what have you done? What do you mean? So when people ask those things, those are tangible. So another one is we did our site-specific regulations for Lake Peatonwell the last couple of sessions. And if you're anywhere near Lake Peatonwell this summer, you'll see a massive difference because we were able to do more site-specific regulation on phosphorus inputs to that lake and that water system, the Wisconsin River watershed, to alleviate a lot of those concerns. So we're winning in categories, right? We haven't taken one false swoop and fixed the entire problem because there's never one silver bullet. But we're winning on this front because farmers are engaged, citizens are engaged, Republicans and Democrats are working together. We've done our Clean Water Task Force. We've got 18 bills. We're still trying to get some of them through the finish line. But this nitrogen optimization one was one of the big ones this last session.
And kind of the same question when it comes to child care and just looking at Wisconsin here. Is that something that's still being talked about with you and your colleagues?
Yeah, absolutely. We did our fiscal cliff bill that dealt with, you know, when you start earning certain amounts of money, you lose benefits at some point in our state. And child care was the first one we did our fiscal cliff on, that if you started being more successful and earning more money, you shouldn't be penalized in reductions of support for child care. So we got that done and finally accomplished and started. We need to do more in that area. And we also need to find a way to encourage more providers to want to stay into the child care business. We're losing providers more than you would realize in central Wisconsin and Wisconsin as a whole, because simply not worth it for some providers to keep going. And as some of those providers age out, we've got to find incentives to draw people into child care and providing services. And with the surplus that I hope we're able to maintain, that we've seen some numbers on this past week that shows that we've been able to fight off inflationary pressures in our surplus through increased tax collections, I think we'll have the money to invest into it this coming session again.
Scott, one of the things that I've noticed, especially just kind of focusing in on your career, when you got started in this, the way politics were, and then the kind of like flip that it has done in the last, you know, 10, you know, years in the time that you've done this. And one of the things that I like about talking with you is I don't feel like I'm talking to somebody who wants to necessarily, I could see you doing this for another 20 years, and I could also see, you know, this could be, you know, the end of the run for you, this, when your term is done. Either way, I could see it going for you. How long do you, though, feel like today, right now, how do you feel about it? Could you see yourself doing this another 10 years, or is this something that you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with?
I mean, there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, I'm not burned out. I'm not lost interest, but I've always thought that there's a point where you become less effective. And like, it's like I always equate it to a yard sign, right? When you put out yard signs way too early in a campaign, people stop looking at it and paying attention to it. Same thing with a local politician, a state politician, federal politician. The longer you're there, the less people pay attention to who you are and what you're doing. And I want to walk away at the point where I feel I have some relevance yet. And I still do. And I always tell people, I've got this book of stuff. When I get this book of stuff to start going on the decline instead of the incline, then I think it's time to start planning to walk away. So I don't know that the light is very close yet. I think there's a tunnel that I can see an end to, but I don't want to be another 40-year guy that I just replaced. I think that'd be hypocritical.
This is one of those times where it does remind me a bit of sports, where you can be, you look at like a coach like Joel Quenneville in Chicago, wins 3 Stanley Cups, but at a certain point, his voice kind of gets lost in that locker room. The same mantras, the same kind of rah-rah just doesn't hit the same. Mike Holmgren, right, that happened to in Green Bay and stuff, where it's just kind of, nobody's saying he's not a good coach, just the voice kind of just doesn't hit the same as always. So I think it's important, yep, to be able to see that too in what you're doing. So that seems very insightful on your part.
I mean, it's so cool, and we talk about all the time how analogous the sports world is to everything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's cliches for a reason, because cliches are usually true. I mean, when it's time, it's time, you know.
Yeah,
and you'll know when that is. And like you said, it gets to be that point where people just start looking at it like, okay, whatever, another election. The name I always write down. I'm just going to write it down because it's the name I always write down. I don't want that. I want people to say, okay, hey, I know this guy is doing a good job. I've met him. We've hung out or whatever. I just want it to be a relevant vote instead of just another vote. So that's kind of where I hang my hat.
Right on. As I bring up sports as a loose segue into asking you how you feel about the Wisconsin Badger football season kicking off tomorrow.
Man, we're excited out here at the campground. We're geared up here. We got a nice TV out here for the group of us that are camping. We're going to crowd around the TV watching the Badgers. I'm going to get to the game next weekend. I've never actually been to a game at Camp Randall before, believe it or not.
Oh.
So, I know. So we'll be there next week against one of the Division II teams, so I know they're going to win.
Right? Yeah, right, right. Yeah, you picked a good one, yeah. Oh, that's going to be fun. That is going to be fun, especially your first time in the stadium. That is it's such a blast.
It's one of those personal things, right? I mean, after all this weight loss, I mean, I'm down almost 100 pounds from where I was. Sometimes when you're that big and that, you know, you just feel weird about going to places and crowding in on a bench with people. Now, you know, things have changed so much now, and it's nice to be able to take Jack, who's 8 years old, to do a Badger game now, because first of all, he's old enough, and second of all, I feel comfortable enough to go do it now.
I was going to say something off air. I appreciate you bringing that up, man. You look great. I'm very happy for you. That's wonderful to see for you, your family. Keep up the great work on that, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm not getting any younger, and the days are wasted by, but you don't take care of yourself. That's the first thing. And then you forget that in politics sometimes. You're always so worried about taking care of everybody else and everything else. You forget about yourself. And I think you see that in a lot of different guys and gals that do what I do. And it's time to have some personal time and get your stuff taken care of for yourself first.
So. Yeah, well said. Scott, if people have follow-up questions, if they have things they want to reach out to you about, how can they reach you?
Yeah, best one is phone number. It's always on 715-323-3293. Usually when you're on over the back fence, I get some calls from folks as we're talking, as they call in about other stuff. They'll call me right after you. So
that's great. Have a great weekend, Scott. Thank you very much for the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Again, Representative Scott Krug joining us here on Morning Magazine. Always appreciate the time from Scott. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Connie's joining us, FRM, coming up on Morning Magazine here at WFHR.